listening to
Blog Talk Radio.
Getting It Right with Dr. Bowles. Good afternoon. I apologize for the delay. I had a little technical difficulty. I am so happy to be joining you this afternoon. I have spent most of the morning thinking about what's going on in the United States of America and how can, after 50 years, the same problems and, unfortunately, the same type of solutions have been suggested. What am I talking about? As my title showed, if you were able to get on the internet and look at the marquee for my show, I'm talking about racism in the United States of America. And the title I chose is You've Got to Treat the Cancer. As many of you who have heard me in the past know, I am a clinician trained in medicine. I'm also a scientist, and I've worked in searching out cause of diseases. And I know from my experience, now 2 decades plus, that treating surface, treating symptoms, does not solve the problem. And if in 50 years all there's been is a lot of symptomatic treatment and discussion and review, I hear everyone saying, we need to have a serious discussion. No, talk time is over. Just talking about a problem does not solve that problem. What did I do? I started what I usually do. I did some research. So what is the word racism even mean? When did it start, and why has it become such a pervasive hot wire topic? If you declare racism, even if there's none, everyone stops to listen. If there's racism and you cry out, no one does anything, then the person who has suffered has a unique type of suffering. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. I happen to be on the side of prejudice, perpetration against me. And I can share some of the stories, and perhaps I already have, of the types of things and how it appears. And for those who've never experienced it, who hear it as something that never touches your life, you're wrong. It touches your life indirectly, and we can talk more about that. Let's go the way I usually do with scientific thought. What is the definition of racism? I looked in several sources, and the one I thought that captured the true meaning best for me said that the belief that all members of each group or race possess characteristics or abilities specific to that race is used to distinguish itself, that group, as superior to another. And this, in general, is the primary motivation. Prejudice, discrimination, and antagonism directed against someone of a darker hue, skin color, eye color, hair texture, based on the belief that one's own race is superior, has dominated the behavior of many Americans in the United States. When I work with various groups, and I've worked a bit in the political arena, particularly through the judicial system, and I remember one of the cases we worked with had to do with bullying. Now, bullying, everyone says, is wrong, and they've done television caricatures, they've done talk shows, you see Dr. Phil handling it, you see various celebrities speaking out against it. I interviewed a very entrepreneurial young woman who's trying to make a movie that talks about bullying. I guess she has made the movie. She's trying to make it something that can be financially reasonable for her. She's mortgaged her home and other things, and I interviewed her on my show. I guess it's getting to be 2 years ago, and I understand she has gotten quite a few awards at different festivals. Everyone wants to say bullying is bad. Bullying should be stopped. But do you not know that racism in the United States is a form of bullying? That's a core problem. I know that in general, when we talk about self-esteem and wholesomeness and group identity, I have nothing wrong with that. When you play a sport for a high school, you are the Wolfpack. or the Gators or the Devils or whatever the title of that school. There's an identity in that. And inherent in that identity is a unity. And when you're on that sports bent, your enemy is anyone who is not the Wolfpack, who is not the Devils. And we all think that's okay. And sometimes in Europe and soccer and some of the more intense games, there erupts a confusion and a fight and possibly even some injuries because of the disagreement on who's superior to the other team. Well, I don't know why America denies that exists. I don't know why America pretends that that's not a reality here in this everyday life of these United States. In teaching your children, when you're trying to get a healthy individual with good self-esteem, you say, you're beautiful, you're brilliant, you're smart, you're wonderful. And everyone says that's a good thing. Build up their self-esteem, build up their sense of importance. But you don't want to create a narcissistic person. What we have in the United States is a narcissistic perpetuation that Europeans have taught themselves and their children a superiority. Do I have a problem with that? No. What I have a problem with is when that teaching to bolster self-esteem, to engender entrepreneurism, to engender energy, to go forth, conquer, and make your own, imposes a suppression of another group, or imposes an oppression of another group, or imposes an eradication of another group. I can have strong self-esteem and not injure you. I can walk proudly and feel good about myself without demonizing you. And that's where we cross into the bullying. Newspapers and media and radio and television, they don't just present white America as better. They present black Americans as something terrible. This is bullying. If you cannot enjoy your status without condemning mine, there's a problem. No one would say what happened during Nazi Germany was good. Not a healthy person, not a person with a balanced outlook. I cannot, without crying, see the hurtful, the hostile, the vicious things perpetrated against a people based on a belief that someone with Aryan descent was better than someone who was not. Likewise, I cannot indifferently watch a 25-year-old man be paralyzed in the backseat of a police car perpetrated by law enforcement for no other reason obvious than his identity as a black man. I cannot, with impunity, hear someone call out, "I cannot breathe," and have another person continue to prevent them from being able to breathe. I cannot ignore someone shouting, "Don't shoot," and die despite hands raised. That is the definition of bully. To have the power, and for however short term, to have the ability to perpetrate an unjust, aggressive act against another without reprisal, without any type of punishment, it escalates. I know about bullying. I've been a victim of bullying. And you wonder, why would children, such as the Columbine experience several years ago, maybe even a decade now, why would young preteens and teenagers, 13-year-olds, go and get guns and assemble somewhere to open fire after pulling a fire alarm to shoot and kill as many people as they could. That is a response to bullying. So I am not surprised when people in Baltimore set fires and turn over cars. I see the media calling them thugs. I heard the president call them thugs. I heard the mayor of Baltimore say thugs. So where was the president of the United States on the opinion of a black man or the shooting of so many young black men and now the paralyzation and death of another black man? South Carolina demonstrated very well visually of a policeman taking aim and firing not once but twice into the back of a fleeing black man. Shortly after that, they showed a car that had a camera inside run someone down on the sidewalk and strike him. These are not acts of law enforcement. These persons are breaking any kind of social law. And to protect them in the fold of some kind of camaraderie, as if you were a mascot person for a football game, that he's one of us, only perpetuates acts of violence against those who have less ability to defend themselves. So, killing a policeman is okay, Velva? No. Breaking down the storefront and taking products off the shelf and running out into the street, is that okay? No. Laying down in the street and blocking traffic and carrying signs and making public statements, confronting police who are trying to get things back in order, is that okay? No. None of it's okay. But none of them is any worse than the other. I don't see thugs in the street of Baltimore. I see angry. I see tired, frustrated. I see victims who aren't heard. And there's more of the same. Someone goes in and says, don't break the store, but they're not even treating the problem. The problem is not the broken storefront. The problem is not the stealing of groceries or products out of a store, the problem. The problem is there is a nation that goes around the world and polices it. Gaddafi, oh, he's an awful man. He has all kinds of genocide and biowarfare, and he needs to die. And so the Americans killed him. There's Hussein. Oh, he's a bad man. He does awful things, so we hunt him down and we killed him. Well, United States of America, wasn't that aggressive? Wasn't that thuggish to enter another man's home and kill him? To set fire to his city? To kill his children? Wasn't that violent? So I don't know how to measure what's going on and listen to the rhetoric. I think the death of anybody at the hands of someone on the outside is a bad thing. So CVS in the middle of a black neighborhood in Baltimore got looted and broken into. I didn't see thugs doing it. A man and his family, several generations, were killed by an unmanned flying craft sanctioned by the President of the United States, and no one called him a thug. Why? How is it so different, listeners? Who makes the distinction? Where is that moral difference? Anger creates chaos. That's an easy formula. We all understand. If you've ever had a moment of anger, you might smash a lamp, and you still like that lamp, but it's destroyed. You may punch a wall. You like your hand, and you may not have intended to put a hole in the wall. But that's your outburst. That's your reaction. It doesn't make you a thug. If there were really someone with the intent to stop the outburst, truly working towards a solution, the first thing I would expect them to say is, what is the matter? What is wrong? I was listening by default to some of Tupac, the rapper, one of the original rappers, and I didn't know I was listening to him. That's what I mean by default. I didn't go out and buy a CD, and I didn't go and look for the musician. I was listening to spoken word, which is a poetic way of expressing oneself. We used to call it slams. Nikki Giovanni, during my era of growing up, was one of the most recognized spoken, outspoken people. And some of her poetry has been incorporated into the Allen Ailey dancing. Powerful words that could just paint a picture that if you were listening to what was said, you could see the birth of woman, you could see the evolution of time. And Tupac, in my opinion, showed the same kind of genius. The particular poem I listened to had been incorporated into a commercial. It had to do with him saying, "It when a rose pushes its way through a concrete sidewalk, its leaves are bruised and battered. I am a rose. And my leaves are bruised, battered. You should not ask me why, but you should ask me how." And I listened to that, and it struck me so to the core that everyone with their many comments and all of shoot down the thugs and the thugs this and the thugs that, their thuggishness is no more than yours. When you exclude a group, when you handicap a group, when you malign a group. And what do I mean by that? Be more specific. Young boys are arrested 6 times the ratio of every other group if they happen to have black skin. In Louisiana, 37% of all young black men between the age of 19 and 35 are incarcerated. How is that possible? How is that possible? How is that the right thing to do? I look at now, we've started talking about marijuana is not a big drug anymore. 20 plus, maybe now 40 plus states have recognized marijuana no worse than tobacco. Some states even allow you to commercialize it like alcohol. How many black American men are still behind bars because of marijuana? How many of them got life in prison for that third strike that President Clinton, Bill Clinton, signed off on? How do you have a person who comes out of prison and cannot vote, but the American government collects taxes from that person? Yes, if you didn't know it. They have to pay income tax, and they cannot have the rights of a citizen. Now, in 1776, that I understood is why the very people who wrote the Constitution of the United States declared themselves to break free of Britain. How do you have taxation without representation? Well, American people, it goes on. And no one has said a word. No one speaks out about it. How do you keep referencing the Constitution when every day the IRS breaks the law of the land? The very reason the United States wanted to break free of Britain is perpetuated against black Americans and anyone else who has been incarcerated. How do we have so many standards, one for the Americans, one for the white Americans, one for the people of color? And when they're supposed to be justice, they call out the Constitution, but they don't follow the Constitution themselves. There was a big outcry when the IRS was uncovered, targeted groups, and were perpetrating a type of persecution. And I think the uncovering of this came out when they looked at the Tea Party. But there are a number of black actors who went to prison because of tax evasion, as they call it. How justified is a people who can punish others for the very acts they commit? To me, that's a bully. How do we teach our children what are right in the world when we do things wrong right in our own house? I caught just a bit of an episode with Dr. Field, and he was talking about the new violence or the young violence. And he talked about an 8-year-old boy who killed his father and his father's male roommate. As the story kept unfolding, they talked about the young man's stepmother, and then the young man's natural mother, and then the young man's stepfather. And at 8 years old, you ask what happened, what was wrong. They didn't call him a thug, but he killed his father and another man, not with a pistol, with a .22 rifle, which he reloaded and shot both people multiple times. How he's portrayed is, let's find out what happened. Let's find out what went wrong. And in there trying to unravel why an 8-year-old child would kill these persons, they found all kinds of flaws. First of all, why would he have access to a .22 rifle? And how is he able to load it and be so aware of what he's doing? And how is he always punished? They said he had been beaten more than 1,000 times in his 8-year-old history. But he had no bruises. He wasn't underfed. He didn't look emaciated. It's just another way to justify what couldn't possibly be a nature of a people, because he's a young white male from Arizona. But you let a 12-year-old mentally handicapped 12-year-old black American child in Florida sit on a 6-year-old, and the 6-year-old die, and he's tried as an adult. He's a thug. He's vicious. He's aggressive. I never heard anyone ask what went wrong or what happened. And if you look at the marquee, part of what is necessary to have racism perpetuate is that there has to be a view that justifies the treatment of another group in a demeaning way. And as I uncovered that racism has existed all through history, and essentially it's the hatred of one person by another because of skin color, language, customs. And this has influenced wars, and it has promoted slavery, and it has also caused the formation and the breakdown of nations. In my reading that during the 15th century, Portuguese traveled to the continent of Africa, and they saw all of these magnificent buildings that rivaled the kind of engineering that they had. And they saw Africans as serious rivals. So what happened? Well, over time, European powers began to plunder the continent. And I can say when I was in Africa in the late 1970s, early 80s, what I remember so well is there was no trains. The highways in Liberia is where I was in Monrovia, Kakata, and Tubmanburg. There was just mud and sand and red dirt everywhere, except there was a copper mine. And from the copper mine, there were paved roads. And there were railroad tracks that went from the mine right to the coast where ships transferred the metal out. I think it was iron ore as well as copper. And there were just large acres of these trees. And I asked, I didn't know trees grew in Africa. And they said, oh, these are rubber trees. And they belong to Phillip 66. And for those of you who may not remember, that was a major rubber tire formation area. And they had leased, and I don't even know how this happened, the trees from the country for 99 years. So for 99 years, the African people would not benefit economically from a resource that was being used right in their own yard. Meanwhile, houses were built of mud, streets were really just sand and mud and rocks, and people and chickens and dogs lived side by side. So if people can teach that black people are subhuman, they're beasts, they're thugs, then they don't have a problem shooting them in the back or strangling them or smothering them or tasing them to death. And I call that being a bully. We need to treat the cancer. And we need to stop asking for dialogue and just get the job done. I thank you for listening. And until next time, take care.